This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In our first mini story, as you heard just a little earlier, there was great news from the Education Ministry today. Stateless children in the country can now enroll in government schools beginning next year just by producing their birth certificate.
This is such good news. Now, we've been following this story for some time, including as part of our Malaysia Day special, where we try to understand and talk about the daily struggles and routines of stateless children living in our country.
Semasa saya kecil lagi, saya tak pernah pergi sekolah. Saya tak pergi tadika, tak pergi mana-mana. So saya rasa macam terasing. Kawan-kawan saya semua pergi sekolah. Saya seorang je tak pergi sekolah. Saya akan setiap pagi saya akan tunggu diorang untuk main. Disebabkan saya tak pergi sekolah tu, saya selalu kena buli. Saya dapat tengok diorang pergi sekolah je, belajar, diorang cerita-cerita. Saya duduk kat tepi macam orang bodoh. Saya tak faham apa yang diorang cakap. Diorang cakap pasal inilah, itulah, pasal benda sains lah, matematik lah, kali-kali semua. Lepas tu, diorang tanya saya. Saya tak tahu, saya diam lah. Lepas tu, lagi seorang kata, kau asal tanya dia? Dia kan Endon, mana pergi sekolah?
You can download the rest of that podcast by searching for Not Malaysian Enough Without a Document on bfm.my or our app.
All right. So you coming back to this announcement from the Education Ministry, Deputy Education Minister Teo Nee Ching said that undocumented children could still enroll themselves, but they have 2 years to produce the necessary documents. Aside from the birth certificate, that includes either adoption certificates or court orders, and they can also enroll if one of their parents is Malaysian.
This is just, I don't know. It's such good news.
Unbelievable, right?
Yes. They've accounted for...
I swear to God, we've been talking about this on BFM for like 10 years.
I know, and they've accounted for so much. I think that's what's shocking to me. So this policy will also apply to those continuing their studies in secondary schools, and they'll be allowed to take public exams like the PT3, SPM and STPM. As you may have heard in our earlier news bulletin, we did manage to catch Hannah Yeo, Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development. Here's what she had to say.
I welcome the move to allow stateless children to go to our government schools. I think that's a brilliant idea to maximize the resources in government schools, because a lot of schools, some of the schools are performing under capacity. That means they actually have a lot more room to take in more students. And I welcome this because I think stateless children is about recognition. While waiting to give them recognition, you don't want to waste time because this is the formative years for them to grow and to learn, and therefore the ABCs are very important for them, and I really welcome this. Well, I have to say congratulations to the Minister of Education and the Deputy Minister of Education for this decision.
That was Hannah Yeo speaking to us right here at BFM a little earlier today about this story. I just wanted to add before we move on to our next story, it's quite interesting this week. We've had the announcement about the abolishment of the death penalty. We've had this announcement. I believe there was another announcement by Dr. Mahathir saying that palm oil is going to, they're going to stop until they can work out sustainable ways of doing that. I mean, all of this is like...
What country are we in?
I don't understand. And for a moment, I forget Mujahid Rawa's statement about Muslims not working and selling alcohol. But other than that, everything else has been pretty decent this week. It's quite amazing.
A solid week.
Solid week.
Yes. Our next story is about something quite different.
I've been working here 9 years. That is the first time, I think the first time we've played a song from a Kamal Haasan movie on BFM, and I'm really proud of that.
So we played that for a reason.
Yes, sorry. Last night, Anwar Ibrahim's Port Dickson campaign took to the stars less than 24 hours from polling day with the endorsement of Kamal Haasan, Indian actor turned politician who described the PKR leader as a beacon of hope. It was nothing less than a glowing endorsement. Here it is.
In a global political climate that craves for exemplary leaders who have a perfect understanding of the underdogs, Anwar Ibrahim is that perfect example. The constituency of Port Dickson has an opportunity of writing a great chapter in the political history of Malaysia by bringing Anwar back to the parliament and to the nation at large.
He went on to say that on this occasion, I'm glad to wish Anwar and the people of Malaysia the very best as they embark on a new journey, and that he was very happy that his friend Anwar had been pardoned from an unjust imprisonment, and that his ascent would only fortify the Indo-Malaysian relationship, while the Tamil Nadu-Malaysian connection would also grow from strength to strength.
Yeah, Kamalhassan is the Secretary General and founder of the Makkal Nidhi Malam, which means People's Justice Centre. His party, founded earlier this year, is planning to go big in the Tamil Nadu elections. Sorry. I saw this video last night. Someone sent it to me via WhatsApp at about 11 p.m. and I could not help but laugh. It's just such old school UMNO style politics, right? I mean, Najib Razak went to Rajinikanth. Do you remember that?
Just I do before remember the election? That.
Because, let me tell you, Lynn, my people, they are so shallow in the minds of these politicians that all it takes is a fancy actor to give an endorsement and they will vote for you.
Actually, what I really wish we could convey to people, but unfortunately the magic of radio has its limitations,
oh, the video?
Is the backdrop.
Oh.
The backdrop was really a multicolor wonder. It was something.
Kamalhassan has this rainbow backdrop. I'm not making any implications with the rainbows, but I don't know what he was trying to say with it.
It felt a little glittery, too.
A little bit glittery,
yeah,
right?
It was great. Anyway, all this is, of course, ahead of the seven-way fight that's happening in the by-election tomorrow. We'll be covering that, won't we, with news bulletins throughout the day.
Yes, and our news team is going to be on the ground. You can also check them out on Instagram. They're going to be doing an Instagram takeover, and they're going to be Insta-videoing all of the action from PD. Because let me tell you, tomorrow, Saturday is going to be chaos.
Yes, and then when we come back next week, you'll also hear more in-depth analysis on whatever it is that happens. Moving on to our next story about Young Lingo.
Awak doi ah. Saya memain je tak betul doi eh.
Apa ni?
Awak sorry lah. Saya memain je tak betul sorry eh.
I don't know if you understood any of that, but if you've ever had any text exchanges with our producer Tasha Fusil, then you might understand some of this BM lingo and slang that the kids these days use in texts and tweets.
It's really intense. It is no joke. It doesn't matter how much formal BM you know. It doesn't help a little bit. Having said that, Johor has decided that they're going to take on the challenge of curbing what they call the youth's tendency to use short form bahasa Malaysia. It's not only the youth, I must say that. State Youth Sports and Culture Committee Chairman Muhammad Kuzan Abu Bakar said that the practice is apparent on social media as well as in messaging applications.
Yeah, he told reporters, sometimes when I read them, you know, these posts and messages, I don't understand what they mean. So the State Government's Youth Development Centre, together with the Dato' On Institute of Leadership, Integrity and Inspiration Training, what a fantastic name for an institution, and Dewan Bahasa Dan Pustaka Southern Region, the DBPSR, will meet youth to correct the way they speak and write in Bahasa Malaysia, beginning with primary school pupils and then going on to the secondary level. This is going to work a treat, I can tell already.
So there are also plans to invite DBPWS, this is complex, officials to attend the Youth Development Centre programs to promote the correct usage of language among youth. And this is coming, of course, after last year. Dewan Bahasa proposed ideas to impose fines for the improper use of BM, particularly in online ads. We invited listeners at the time to talk back, and one caller said that we had bigger problems when it comes to protecting our national language.
Language is not their problem, actually. Communication is the big problem now. No doubt, I mean, the Dewan Bahasa and Pustaka have got to protect the language in that sense. But the thing is that how many people read, for that matter, I used to get free books from Dewan Bahasa and Pustaka. They got very good books that translate the English books. But then I realized that no one is reading it anyway. So what's the point of protecting when we have other problems? People are not, it's not reading and people are not communicating well.
So, but do you think...
That was a caller, Cheryl, saying that we don't read enough and that's a problem we need to fix before we start policing the way we use our language, which is, of course, related to the next story about books and reading that we will be talking about when we come back. But I think it's important to point out, Lynn, that it's almost impossible to police language in this way. Dewan Bahasa has tried for the longest time and they've become so irrelevant as an institution. If you look at some of the best-selling Malay novels and books, I mean, a lot of them come out of Amir Muhammad's publishing house, Fixie, where people are encouraged to use language as spoken. And that's what appeals to young people. And that's what's got young people reading and buying books again. It's exciting.
I used to be much more of a snob when it came to language. But I think increasingly, you just have to accept how language is used. Language grows, language evolves. A language that doesn't do so dies. And I mean, if irregardless has finally made its way into acceptance, then I think what hope is there for anything else?
But also, you know, it adds to the vibrancy of a language,
right?
I agree. I mean, it becomes so much more, I mean, you can play so much more with things like poetry and prose when you actually use slang and you use the day-to-day vernacular that people adopt. I mean, what...
So you're willing to struggle through reading something like XDE for Takde?
I think I'm willing to struggle. And maybe that's not for me, right? I mean, that's the other thing, right? Maybe that's not for me. And if I don't understand something, maybe I should ask that individual what XDE means.
Before we get into our next story, we've got a question for you. How many books do you have in your house? Let us know. That number to call is 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And I'm not asking just because we're nosy. I mean, we are. But
I feel like this question is a setup.
But yes. How wise of you to notice that. So the reason we ask is because researchers have revealed that having more books at home when growing up, even if you don't necessarily read them, can actually improve educational outcomes.
There's so many books to choose. Get on board, you just can't lose. Books expand your mind, it's true. Reading books is good for you. I love reading.
That is going to be the new theme song for Bookmark. I think I need to do that.
That's beautiful. I love it. It's so true. In fact, there was a study.
Yes.
And what they found was that adults with university degrees, but who grew up with fewer books, had the same level of literacy as those who left school in high school, but who had a lot of household books as a teen.
That is fantastic. Now, the study published in the Journal of Social Science Research found that the number of household books at age 16 had a direct positive relationship with literacy, numeracy, and IT skills in later years, independent of how much tertiary study a person did or how often they read as an adult. This new study from the researchers at the Australian National University, ANU, and the University of Nevada in the US also revealed which countries are the world's biggest bookworms. This might surprise you.
Yes. On average, Australians owned 148 books per house, but the largest chunk of respondents had only 65. Meanwhile, Estonians lead the world, averaging 218, with 35% owning 350 books or more. And then you've got Norway, Sweden, and the Czech Republic, all of whom beat English-speaking countries like the UK and the US. Turkey had the lowest average with 27, and 60% of households said they only had 5 books.
Right. Lead author Dr. Joanna Sikora said adolescent exposure to books laid the foundations for a scholarly culture that gave people lifelong improvement in education, regardless of social advantage or disadvantage. They found the positive impact was greatest for those with higher levels of disadvantage, meaning lower-income families could narrow the education gap by exposing their children to more books in the house.
So another surprising link here is that household books led to improvements even in maths and IT. Mm. So the tendency here is to think that this is a different skill.
Yeah.
You're either, you know, good with words or you're good at numbers. But this data seems to be suggesting that that isn't the case at all. It's not just if you read books as a kid, you're good at reading books later on. Mm. Instead, you're actually good at literacy in a completely different environment.
Yeah. So Dr. Sikora, the lead author, stressed that it was not the act of reading specifically that brought benefits. It was very difficult to put a finger on it and just say, do a lot of reading, right? There's more to it. It's a whole complex around books and reading. It's important for young children to see their parents and other people surrounding themselves with books.
BFM caught up with Faiz Al-Shahab, who is the co-founder of eCentral, Malaysia's biggest e-book platform, and he thinks that the reading culture in Malaysia is very much in the stages of infancy, which he felt was due to a few factors.
The most important thing is that kids from their younger age have to be exposed to reading, because the moment that you try reading once, right, you will know that it is actually a lot more than what people say it is. A lot of the problems that people see it as a burden, as something that is, heavily related to education, for example. Education has always seemed to be kind of tedious with exams and stuff like that, right? We should also look at what has happened to Malaysia in the past. One of the bigger issues is that in 1976, for example, we changed the school's medium from English to Malay, right? So the first batch of kids that came in for a standard one, yeah, Darjah Satu, finished school at late 80s, for example, and they were the first batch of kids that were Malay medium speakers, right? There's nothing wrong with this policy. I mean, a lot of countries around the world, like Japan, China, and South Korea and all that, they promote their own language, right? But the problem was that as they become adults, there weren't much publication in Malay language that was prepared then. So we had a gap of parents whereby they grew up without reading. So if you had parents that are not conscious about reading, then what do you think that the kids would be? Now, this is not really their problem, right? But it is a policy that we set, so we need to address that.
That was Faiz Al-Shahab, co-founder of eCentral, Malaysia's biggest e-book platform, an interview with BFM. When did reading become a chore? That's what the interview was called. You can check out the podcast for that. What do you reckon? Did you grow up with a lot of books in your house, and did they have a similar impact on you? That's what we want to know. You can call us on 77-332-900 or text us on 018-789-8899 or, you know, just tweet us at BFM Radio.
How many books did you grow up with?
A lot.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, surrounded. Yeah, and still, that collection just keeps growing. So I'm constantly surrounded by books. I try to read as many of them as I can.
Did you have encyclopedias? Because I did.
I loved me encyclopedias.
Yeah.
I had, I want to say World Book. I didn't have Britannica.
I had Britannica. I had Childcraft. I enjoyed reading, well, I don't know if you read the Atlas. I enjoyed looking at the Atlas. There were a lot of things. I mean, one of the things that I still blame my parents for were giving away my Ladybirds. They didn't ask.
Oh, no, same here. Whenever I had there was a new addition to the family, suddenly that silly kid got all my books. And I'm like, no, they're mine.
I didn't say you could give those away. My Doraemon are mine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty clear.
They're probably worth a lot of money right now as well.
That's the thing. But gone to some lucky kid who hopefully is, you know, reaping the benefits of it. But still, Chi Chong says, I think I have 350 to 400 books at home, but who's counting?
Nice.
And then we've got Elaine who says, in my room alone, there's over 300 books. I'm 11 years old.
Hold on. Elaine, who is 11, is listening to BFM 89.9. Elaine, you are completely throwing off our data and statistics on demographics.
I'm feeling the need to censor myself a little bit suddenly.
Yes.
What if we encounter something that, you know...
But Elaine, I want to know when you started, please, when you started listening to BFM and what are your favorite shows? Tell us.
And your favorite books. Let us know, Elaine. Magat Nabil says, I have more than 100 books at home, but my daughters feel that's too many. They say it will take a lifetime to finish reading all of them. And then we have got Ardi Baggio who says, hundreds, and if I added the children's books, possibly thousands.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm a hoarder. Aren't we all when it comes to books? Intan Sabrina says, home number one, 200, home number two, 15, home number three, 500. Kids 200, adults 300. I think that's a pretty fair divide.
And office 15 books.
Yes.
That's good.
Please keep your thoughts coming. We are asking you how many books you have at home because that might have a significant impact in terms of your children growing up with, you know, good literacy skills. You are listening to the Evening Edition right now. We've got some music. Honey, I Need by The Pretty Things, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.